believe chains can fall in this place today. I believe fear can fall at this place today. I don't know what you've come into this house today, but I believe anything is possible today. When the Spirit of the Lord shows up, I'm telling you, anything is possible. And I feel Him right now. I believe we can start to raise up holy hands right now without wrath or without doubting, and believing that God can do something in our lives today, that we do not have to leave here the same way that we came in today, but our lives could be forever changed. I believe it today. I truly believe that anything is possible today. We ain't got to walk out those same doors the same way that we came in. We've been in the presence of the Almighty God, and I know that He's here this morning. Some of you say, how do you know for sure that He's here? Well, the Word of God says that He inhabits the praises of His people. We've already heard it quoted earlier that when two or three are gathered together in His name, there are they in the midst of them. And there's another scripture that He is as close as the mention of His name. So before this service is over today, we're going to have an altar call. I'm going to speak for a few moments, but we're going to call upon that name of the Lord, that He would minister to our needs. Maybe there's people that aren't here today. Maybe they're watching on live stream, or we have prodigal sons and daughters that aren't here today. But guess what? God's arm is not too short where He cannot reach them where they're at. You can't go too far away from God. But this is a church that wants to love and restore those that are not here. That we want to open up our loving arms back to those and tell them that we love them. If you're watching on live stream today and you don't know if we could be accepted back into the house of God, I'm here to tell someone that God wants to restore the years that the locust worm has tried to steal from you. That we will love you. That God wants a relationship with you, and He wants to be the center of your life today. He truly does today. I'm so thankful for this wonderful praise team, this wonderful church. You may be seated as the musicians start to close out this first part of the service, but your pastor is an incredible man of God. He truly is. He really is. I remember as a young boy that he would preach youth camps. And I was a young man in Ohio District, and he would come and preach to us. And I didn't know how he could look so young. Or do I look so old? I don't know which, but there's something that's going on that. But you know what? He's an awesome man of God, and I'm so thankful to have an opportunity to sit behind the sacred desk today. I don't count it lightly. They have a wonderful ministry team. Brother Marcus, thank you for introducing me today. Sister Teresa has taken care of everything that we have need of today. And Sister Cheyenne, thank you. I'm so thankful for this ministry team. There's so much that's going on in the background that maybe you just see the person that may that hold the mic or sing behind or gets to play, and you may notice them, but there's so many inner workings, and I'm so thankful for the hospitality of this church here in Salem. I've known about this church. This is my first time ever getting to come to this church, but I've come, like Brother Marcus said, with expectation that God wants to do something in this house. I'm thankful that I get to travel with my family. The Bible says, he that hath found a wife has found a good thing. And we often stop with a good thing. But it also goes on and says, and has obtained favor from the Lord. I have favor because I have found a good thing. My wife celebrated a birthday this past Tuesday. I will not tell you how old she is. But man, I have got the best thing. If you're married today, you better believe that you've got the best thing. But my wife, she has an incredible, I guess, resume. She has spoken on her field of study. She's a pediatric nurse practitioner. She's spoken on 5 different continents. You can look up my wife's first name, and I'll tell you what that is after service so you don't Google it today. But you can Google her first name, and she will pop up. It is a little bit unique, but she's written a book and authored a book, a medical book, and she's so blessed. I'm so blessed to have her, and she had decided when God started calling us to overseas missions, it says, here am I, Lord, send me. You know, I could go by myself, but I wouldn't be a very good missionary if I'm going by myself. But I'm thankful for a wife that said, you know what? The career that I had, the money that I had, I had a decent job as well. And the things that we were trying to gather up together and thinking we're doing the American dream, but we really were living the American scheme. And we realized that when we die and pass away from this world, you never see a U-Haul following a hearse. You never see someone burying you with all the treasures and all the things that you've gathered together. But there is one thing that you get to take with you. Are the souls that you're able to share the gospel with, that you help pull them out of a lake of fire, that you're able to be able to bring them with you on the other side of glory. So I don't care about the riches of this world. I don't care about what I'm giving up. I'm here just to reach one. It'd be worth it all if I could reach one. So thankful for her and her ministry and what God is doing in her life. I'm thankful for my three beautiful children today. I have Madison, my 16-year-old. Man, I'm getting scared when we go back to overseas that she'll be leaving to come to college in the middle of our term, but I'm so thankful for my beautiful young lady. Parker, then I have is my 13-year-old son. Man, I always wanted a boy, so I'm thankful that everything that I needed and found was in him. I'm so thankful for him. And I have a little one hiding back there somewhere, little Nora. We'll talk about her a little bit later on, but I'm thankful for my 4-year-old girl. I'm thankful for my family. We should be thankful for our family. They're a blessing from God. And I'm so thankful for them today. As you may know that my family and I, we are going to French Polynesia. I think Brother Marcus was the first person in 16 months of deputation that really has called it out on the carpet that it is not a country, it is a territory, kind of like Guam or Puerto Rico. It's not a country of French Polynesia, but it's a French territory. But you know what? There's some interesting facts about French Polynesia that I want to share. But first, I would like to, I know there's probably some Bible quizzers that are here in the house, but the Bible says, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Am I right? I don't know if you know this today, but French Polynesia is literally the furthest inhabited landmass away from Jerusalem. It is the uttermost part of the earth. But guess what? I look at that scripture and I go with a surety that the power of the Holy Ghost that I have, that you have, that he's already given us power to go to the uttermost part of the earth. I'm not going by myself. I'm not just going with my family, but I'm going with the power of the Holy Ghost. And that same Holy Ghost message, that Acts 2:38 message, it's going to go, his name is going to be known and declared in French Polynesia. We only got to go for 8 days. 8 days we went and we had to make the decision. But you know what? My wife and I, we grabbed hands. And we stepped off the plane. We went from those steps, you know, the steps that come right on the tarmac. And you step right on the ground and we say, in Jesus' name, we want to make his name known. And we started doing prayer walks in the morning. And God just told me that I'm going to give you favor wherever your foot would trod. And then we started to drive around this small little island of Tahiti. And we were driving around and it takes about an hour and a half to get around the biggest part of Tahiti, and God started to say, I'm going to give you churches that you didn't build. And we're going to give a revelation of the salvation of Jesus Christ to those that don't know it, that whole churches are going to be turned. I'm telling you, I believe what Brother Marcus was saying, that it can happen here. It's happened other places. If it's already happened before, it can happen again. We got to have faith in believing that God can do it together. I believe it today. And I believe that people are going to be saved in French Polynesia. Why? Because in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, it says, after this I looked there before me, there was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb of God. In order for us to see them in heaven, and before the throne and the Lamb of God, we've got to reach them. And maybe my family and I may be going across the Pacific Ocean and we're going to start up a pioneer of work there in French Polynesia. Maybe some of you have felt called to go overseas and have gone overseas, but guess what? That's the same in importance for some of us in this house today to go across the street, to go across town, or go across our cubicle and share what God has done for us. You know what? The testimonies of God, he just didn't give them there just to pat ourselves on the back or make us feel good, but he's given us those testimonies that we could share with those, and they could say, oh, if God could do it through Matthew Nash, well, surely he could do it for me. If God could do it through Brother Marcus, well, surely he'll do it for me. Or if God could do it with my brother on this side, then surely he could do it for me. And they could get a revelation of who he is. And that's how we can see revival in these last days. I'm believing that God wants to reach the 311,000 souls of French Polynesia. I really do. I believe it's going to happen. We look around and we see the news. We hear wars and rumors of wars. And you start to see earthquakes in diverse places. And you start seeing all these situations going around the world. And I know that the time is wrapping up quickly. But I'm believing that God is going to have that pouring out upon all flesh in those last days. And I'm excited what God is going to do in French Polynesia. My family and I had the opportunity to serve in Botswana and Zimbabwe. And then we had an opportunity to serve in Fiji for about 2 years. And God does some incredible things. He'll put a burden upon your heart to do something. And we had the opportunity, I believe they have a slide about Bible quizzing up there, and if they don't mind to show it, we started a ministry called Fiji Bible Quizzing. There's nothing more important that you could do than know the Word of God. You know, I think about how bankers, you know how bankers know how there's counterfeits that come in? They know the real thing. They study the real thing, so when something doesn't look like the real dollar bill, they know that's a counterfeit. But if we study and know the Word of God, when some other persuasion or some other truth would try to come up and say, hey, wait, that doesn't line up with this Word. I try to figure out, you know, I wanted to be real spiritual when I wanted to start this ministry of Bible quizzing in Fiji, and I wanted to get real spiritual and try to find out who could be a good example of memorizing the Word of God. And I didn't have to look too far. I found this guy named Jesus. Maybe you heard of him. He was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and the enemy started to tempt him. And you know what happened every time he started tempting him? He quoted the Word of God. I don't care if you're young. I don't care if you're old. There's nothing better that you can do than learn and study the Word of God. Have it hidden in your heart so you shall not sin against thee. But you know what? Even if you're old or young and you can't quiz anymore, and these quizzers are up here, there's a young man. His name was Tomasi. He's in a purple shirt with a purple tie, and I'm standing next to him. And Brother Tomasi, he was invited to church from his grandmother. His grandmother brought him into the house of God, and then his siblings started to come to the house of God, and they wanted to join the Bible quizzing team. And they all started joining the quizzing team, and guess what started happening? They started speaking the Word of God in their house. Not all their family members were coming to the house of God, but something starts to change when you start to speak the Word of God. The atmosphere starts to change when God's Word is spoken day in and day out. And lo and behold, I finally see Tomasi's mom comes to one of the Bible quizzing tournaments, and I tell her how proud I am of her son. And I heard that now that she's attending the church where Tomasi was Bible quizzing, these kids are not the church of tomorrow, but they're the church of today. They're able to go to places that some of us can't go to. They can go into certain situations and schools and be able to share the Word that they've learned in their heart. I'm excited about what God is doing in this next generation of people that are studying and learning the Word of God. If we go to the next slide, I had an opportunity to work at the Bible school in Fiji, and I feel like I was unqualified. How many of us feel like we're unqualified? I promise you, my wife, she has all the degrees, she has all the letters behind the last name and all the certifications, and I'm like, she graduated summa cum laude or whatever it is, and I graduated, thank the Lordy, and I'm out there preaching. I got to teach, and I barely made it. I don't even know how I made it, and you know, but they said, hey, Brother Nash, we want you to teach Bible school. I get to get a good relationship with a lot of the students. I'm a personable guy, and I like relationships, and the world moves at the speed of relationships. If you want to see someone come into the house of God, this is for free. Build a relationship with someone. Build a relationship with them. Love them. And see what God will do in their life. But I started talking to some of my Bible school students, and there's a guy named Brother Noah, and he's in a cap and gown under my arm, and Brother Noah started telling me his testimony. And he said on a Sunday morning, he was drunk. And he was staggering around, going to a bus stop, and a backslidden man said, "Hey, bro, your life is messed up. You need to go to that apostolic church up the road." And he looked at him probably half crazy, and he's like, "What are you talking about? I'm drunk, and you're telling me to go to church? I don't think that's a place for me." But one day, Brother Noah finally finds himself in this church, and he goes to an altar and repents of his sins. He gets baptized in the only saving name of Jesus Christ. And he gets filled with the Spirit with evidence of speaking in other tongues. And you know what? He felt a call to go to Bible school. You know, some of these students up here have some past. They're drunkards, I've just mentioned. There's people that have been in psychiatric hospitals and in prison. And people that were into all kinds of different drugs and kava farms. And God said, "I want to use them." There's people that are not in the church today. Maybe they're in the Accelerate Recovery classes, but guess what? I believe God can use them. He doesn't need our permission on deciding on who he wants to use or what their past was, if his grace was sufficient. I'm telling you, God's grace is sufficient. His water of baptism washes away all sins, and God can use whoever he chooses for his glory. Little Noah, he comes and goes to Bible school and starts to teach Bible studies. I'm so thankful for a church that believes in Bible studies, invests in Bible studies. Because this is what same thing Brother Noah was doing. And I got word because some people started talking about him because how big his Bible study had grown. People started judging him and thinking because he had fruit coming from his life. And lo and behold, Brother Noah, I talked to him and said, "What's going on with this Bible study everyone's talking about?" He said, "Pastor, I'm just teaching a Bible study in my neighborhood. I'm not causing any problems." I said, "No, it's good. I like it." He said, "Bro, I have a question for you. How many people have you seen respond to the gospel since you started teaching this Bible study within the last 2 years?" He's like, "Well, Pastor, I've seen over 30 people repent of their sins, be baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost in less than the last 30 years or last 2 years. If God can do that, 30 people in 2 years in one person's life, what could God do in our life? Why don't we start to pray and ask God to lead us and guide our footsteps and say, God, send me someone that I could share your love with. Send me, Lord God. I don't care if the people don't look like me. I don't care if they're on the street drunk. Let me share the love of God and send them direction and that you could take care of their situations in their life." If God could do it there in VT Levu, he can do it right here in Salem. He's no respecter of persons. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe he can do it, and I believe he wants to do it here in these last days. And we've seen stories and testimonies of all kinds of different sorts, and I don't have time, so I just leave with just a few testimonies. I have one last testimony, and if you want to go to the next slide, just because you're living for God doesn't mean you're not going to have some problems. I thought I'd get a few more amens than that. I'm telling you, I feel problems all the time. I look out to the horizon and say, "Hey, what's coming up next?" This instance, little Nora, she got her finger caught behind a solid wood door. From the knuckle on her fourth finger, her finger was detached, all but a little bit of skin just dangling there. And she's screaming as we were on the other side of the island, and my wife comes carrying the baby and says, "We need to go to the hospital." Need I remind you, we're in a third world country of Fiji, and she's telling me that we need to go to the hospital. And the only thing that I could think of is that you are the hospital. There's no one with the same training that you have, and you've worked in different areas, and I'm sure you can figure it out. I don't know why you're going to go to the hospital, but the baby's still screaming. And I thought real quick on my feet, and I said, "Well, why don't you go with Sister Wicket? She's a nurse. You're a nurse practitioner. And I'll stay here with the big kids." And maybe it was a little bit carnal. Maybe I didn't want to hear the crying. The first 3 months of Nora's life, she cried nonstop. I didn't think I could even be a missionary with the baby crying so much. But God finally helped us figure all that out. And I was getting a little PTSD. And then I'm thinking, oh, if I see that finger, I'm not a hunter. I wish I was a hunter, but I saw that finger dangling. I about fainted. And if this big guy faints, no one's going to come pick me up. They're going to walk over me, and they're going to take care of the baby that has her finger about to fall off. So I decided to stay home, and she went. And they go to the first hospital there in Fiji. There was no doctor. Could you imagine going to a hospital? Sorry, no doctor today. Come back tomorrow. Maybe we'll have a doctor. That's the real life road. Rubber meets the road right there for us. And she's like, well, that's not a good enough answer. And they go to another hospital, and they have a doctor there. But he, unlike a cold weather day today, he had no shoes on, no socks on, and he was barefoot. And he was your doctor. I don't know if he thought he was on holy ground, so he took off his shoes and socks or what, but for whatever reason, this is the man, and he was quite a large man sitting there, and you had to bring the patients to where he was. He does not get up out of a seat. So maybe because he doesn't walk on the floor as much, maybe that's why he took off his socks and shoes. I don't know, but my wife probably thought at that very moment, I should have went to the airport. I should have flown to Australia. I should have flown to New Zealand. I should have gone somewhere where they have normal health care, but for something, God inspired her or told her that maybe she should call the hospital where she worked at. And so she called the hospital and said, I need to talk to the pediatric hand surgeon that's on call today. I said, yes, Miss Nash, we'll get you patched on through. And that call service is only really meant for patients in the hospital. My wife didn't care. She said she was in dire, desperate need. She apologized to the hand surgeon when she's talking to her. And she said, I'm in Fiji, and telling her all the things. And they said, Miss Nash, I just want to let you know before we go any further, to let you know 90% of these hand injuries will heal miraculously on their own. And my wife said, in Jesus' name. When someone starts to give you a positive word, I don't care who it is, but if someone's going to speak life into your body or your situation, you better go ahead and claim it in the name of Jesus Christ. His word says, by the stripes we are made whole. So you might as well go ahead and believe that he's going to intervene in that situation. That doctor said, Miss Nash, this is what you need to do. And she tells her, you need to get a popsicle stick, tie up those two fingers in the middle together, and then in 2 weeks' time, you could unwrap it, and it should be healed, or it won't be healed. And my wife said, okay. Man, the enemy will start to attack your mind. That thing was wrapped up like a mitten on a cold winter day. You couldn't see what was going on. And the enemy, on the next day, I lead up the Bible school prayer and chapel every day before classes, and I'm in there praying, and the enemy's just attacking me. Oh, you thought you were called of God? Why would God allow that to happen to your baby girl? Oh, just wait till your father-in-law hears about this. Just wait till your mom hears about this. And all these things are attacking me. And I'm like, oh, God, I need to hear a word from you. I need to know everything is going to be all right. I need you to speak. And lo and behold, just a few moments in, God spoke about a story about in Ezekiel, about this valley of dry bones and how he put these dry bones back together and made an army out of this. And God just spoke to me, if I can put the bones back together at the valley of dry bones, I can put a little knuckle back, attach a finger to a knuckle again. If I've already done the greater, I surely can do the easier. I said, okay, God, I'm going to stand on your word. I'm going to trust it. But I still had some time to wait. Man, and God has a sense of humor. The Sunday before we unwrapped that hand, God wanted me to speak on faith. And if you don't know what faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. I used to tell my kids that I had x-ray vision or I could see from the back of my head. And I could tell them whether they're moving or not, but I really can't. Truth's out, I can't see behind front. But you know what? I started speaking in faith and believing that God was healing my baby girl, even though I couldn't see him working, even though I couldn't feel it, or even though I couldn't understand how it was going to happen. But when I started to preach the word of faith, I started believing it for my situation, that you know what? God is able to do anything in this place. He can make a way where there seems to be no way. Because we unwrapped that hand just a few days after that. That finger had been attached. You couldn't hardly tell that there was anything wrong. The scar has moved up above the nail bed. I believe one day there's not going to be a spot or a wrinkle of that scar ever to show up. I'm telling you, God cares for the little things in your life today. He cares about the small situations that you said, oh, this is just a little stump in the road. I'm not going to really pray and ask God. I'm telling you, God cares for that situation for you. He wants you to ask him today to him to work out in your situation. If you allow me, I just want to speak just for a few moments this morning, and I'm going to be quick. I know what time it is. Maybe you have some roast in the oven or in the crock pot, and I promise I'm going to be quick. But if you have your Bibles, like to turn with me to Isaiah 43, verse 16 through 19. I want to speak that God will make a way. I was getting nervous in the Bible study session. Man, I thought he was going to preach my message, and he kept on skipping right over it. I'm like, oh, hallelujah. I'm like, man. I was like, oh, here he comes. He's like closing it up to hammer the points on. He starts talking about escaping, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. And he just jumped right over it again. I'm like, hallelujah. But I'll just take it as confirmation that he just left the good parts for me. So I'm thankful for my brother. But if you have your Bibles in Isaiah 43, verse 16 through 19, I'll go ahead and read. It says, thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, in the path, in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power, and they shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They're quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Just because you haven't seen it happen yet doesn't mean God can't do it. He said he can do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray right now that you would anoint these lips of clay. Lord God, that my words would not bring forth, but your words and what you've shared with me, Lord God, I would be able to minister to your people today. Lord, touch us today, encourage us, and lift up our faith that you are able to make a way where there seems to be no way. In the powerful, wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we pray today. Amen, amen, amen. A few years ago, I was struggling with some pain in my abdominal section, and I didn't know what to do, so when you're married to a nurse practitioner, guess what you go? You say, hey, honey, I got some pain in my stomach. And she said, okay, you probably should see a doctor. I'm like, you're the nurse practitioner. You're like, it's almost the same thing. But she's in pediatrics, and she really doesn't like taking care of, I guess, older people. So I guess I passed that age now since I'm over the age of 40. So I went to see a doctor, said, you have a hernia. You need to get it repaired. And I get it repaired, everything's going good, and then I start seeing some redness around my incision. As I see the incision getting red and the redness is growing, I guess what I did? I went to my wife and said, hey, I don't know what's going on. She said, well, you should probably see a doctor. So now I don't have to ask my wife anymore. I just go straight to the doctor. So it saved me a step, right? So anyway, I go to the doctor. They said, we want to do a CT scan over your body to make sure the infection hasn't spread. You can get septic. You can get the infection to spread your body, and it can be very, very bad. And they do the scan and said, take these antibiotics, and we'll call you in a few days to let you know what the reports are. They called me back and said, hey, just continue to take the reports or continue to take the antibiotics, and you should be fine. But there's a thing called MyChart. I don't know if you have MyChart. But there's an app or something that on your phone that you can look on your computer. You can look it up, but it's a way that you can read all the medical things. And my wife is reading the CT scan. And I don't know how to read that. That might as well be Chinese to me because I don't know how to read medicalese. And she said, did they say anything about your inferior vena cava? I said, my what? Your inferior vena cava. I said, no. I would have remembered if they said. They said, just take the antibiotics. I should be fine. Are you sure? I'm like, yes. My wife is getting troubled. And you can notice when someone's getting troubled or frustrated or worried, and especially my wife, she doesn't really worry about my health care. She thinks I'm always a hypochondriac. She's like, you always think that you're sick, or you always think you have this situation. And nurses, you know, if you're married to a nurse, you probably can understand where I'm coming from. But if not, it's a real thing. I thought she was going to take care of me, but no, she kind of questions all my symptoms. Like, well, you'll be fine. And I'm like, okay. Well, I remember in 2020 when I got COVID. And if you're here today and didn't get COVID or any symptoms, God bless you. But I wasn't that one. I got all the symptoms. And I started getting the symptoms on a Wednesday. I tell her, I said, honey, I think I got COVID. She says, stay off the internet. You got sympathy symptoms, and you really ain't got it. You got maybe the man flu or something else, but to stay off the internet, you'll be fine. I'm like, okay. 2 days later, I go to her. I say, I don't know if it's the man flu. I don't know what it is, but I can't smell anything. I can't taste anything. I think, I don't know. She's like, well, you probably have COVID. I said, what? And she said, well, I got the symptoms now too. So it's not until she's sick that she's really worried about me, or she has some other doctor telling her that there's something else wrong. And so we had to call the doctor's office back and talk about this inferior vena cava. And they said, well, you probably should see a heart surgeon. I went for a hernia, not heart surgery. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? And I go to the heart surgeon. Well, my wife had to work that day, and I had to put her on speakerphone and go into the doctor's office so she could talk to the doctor with me, because obviously I would forget something that he would tell me, and I'd rather just hold her on speakerphone than get in trouble when I get home. So I go ahead, and I wouldn't get in trouble. I'm giving her a hard time. She's the best. So anyways, we talked to the doctor. The doctor says, yeah, you have your inferior vena cava is 100% blocked. If you don't know what the inferior vena cava is, it is the main vein that brings the lower half of your blood back into your heart. And he said, I don't know when this happened. I can't explain it. It could have happened at childhood. It could have happened just recently or at birth. But somehow your body made little veins or back roads instead of having a highway or interstate highway. Your body made these little roads or little veins all around the blockage, and you're able to live without anything or any problems. As far as I can tell, there's nothing wrong with you. So he said, if something would happen, let me know, but I'm telling you, you should be fine. I'm telling you, sometimes God makes a way where there seems to be no way. Sometimes he makes a way when we don't even know that we need a way. I should be dead, but God, he made a way. Many of us could have drove through different situations, and we miss a car accident because God had his hand upon us. How many times has God done that for us today? I can't wait to make it to heaven and hear about the things that God has done for us and protected us from. God, he makes a way where there seems to be no way. Going back to our scripture, it talks about the children of Israel leaving Egypt. They were there for 420 years. They outstayed their welcome. They weren't supposed to be there that long. But God finally had to raise up a Moses to deliver his people out from the hand of Pharaoh. And he started doing these different plagues. And finally, Pharaoh said, go, leave. Caused us too many problems. And it feels good when you leave after Pastor Gene will preach a great message on Sunday, and the Holy Ghost were swinging from the rafters, and we're feeling great. And then that's how the children of Israel felt. Then Monday happens. We get a telephone call that tells us some bad news and a bad situation. And now the world's crumbling in, because guess what? Pharaoh changed his mind. The Israelites were leaving, but guess what? The next day or a few days later, he changes his mind and starts to chase down the people of Israel. And finally, they get to catching up to him. They start to surrounding him. They surround them by the Red Sea, and they had no place to go. They're in an impossible situation. Sometimes we've seen the hand of God work in mighty miracles and situations. They've seen all the plagues that God had already done to convince Pharaoh to leave him go. And they're on their way out of town. And now they have another bump in the road. And now they start to doubt whether God is going to protect us or not. Don't forget about the things that God has done for you. Those things that God has done for you, should write them down. You should remember those things, because that should give you encouragement when you go through another time of situation or a problem that you can lean upon and know that this is just a test. God hasn't brought us all the way to this point just to see us wiped off the face of the map. This is just another opportunity that God is about to show up in, that God is about to make a way where there seems to be no way in our lives. The enemy will tell you it's too hard for your God. God has never done it before. I've never seen it happen before. Other than the creation story, I've never seen the waters part. And God was about to do something for the children of Israel that had never happened before. But God never told Moses. It feels great when God tells you everything's going to be good. When little Nora, she had her finger, you know, when I was telling that story and God spoke to me, if I can do this, I can do that. It feels good. But sometimes you won't have that word. You're just going to have to believe and trust in the man of God. Because guess what? In Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, Moses started speaking unto the people. And he said, "Fear ye not." God hasn't brought us this far to leave us. He's about to do something, a new thing in our lives. Just be ready for what God is about to do. He had no answers. God had never told Moses what he was going to do, but he started speaking out in faith. And then he said, "Stand still. When you've done all that you can do, stand therefore. Stand and wait upon the Lord." Maybe you haven't seen it come to pass. Maybe you don't know how it's going to happen. Guess what? Just stand. And then he said, "And see, open your eyes." You're going to want to remember this. You know, I often share a story about me being a little boy, and I know that's hard for some of you to believe, but I'm the youngest of my family, and my brother used to beat on me like a rag doll, and I would crawl up into that fetal position. I wouldn't stand up, because if I stood up, I'm challenging my brother, and he's going to whack me or punch me right in the face, and I'm going to fall right back down. It's better to stand on the ground, crawl back away from safety, and run home or something. But so I'm telling you, I would crawl up, though, in that fetal position. I would close my eyes, cover all my parts. I don't want to see what was going to happen. But Moses, he started speaking a word, "Fear not. Stand still." Don't start spreading fear. Don't go to person to tell them about how this is an impossible situation. No, but he said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." God is about to save someone. Today is the salvation of the Lord. God is about to do something. So you want to remember this from generation to generation. We're still talking about the time when God opened up the Red Sea. And he said, "Hey, you want to tell your children's children about what God is about to do." And then he spoke in faith. "He will show you today." You don't have to leave here with your situation today without God intervening in your life. If you would come to the altar, God can intervene in that situation. As we would say, today is the day, or in Fiji, sang and die. Today is the day. God can do it today. He doesn't look on a calendar or a map. And I agree with Brother Marcus, as he said on Wednesday, you can have a Holy Ghost revival on a Wednesday. God doesn't look on the calendar or on a map and say, "I can only work on this day," or "I can only work when this person's preaching. I can only work on this how." But God can work and move in your situation today. "For the Egyptians," or your problems, "whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. He that the Son has set free is free indeed." You know what God started doing? He started parting the Red Sea and allowing his people to walk upon the dry ground. I know there's some unbelievers here, and maybe you don't believe that. I apologize, but I believe that. That's what the Word of God says. But to some people say, "Oh, they only walked on ankle-deep water." Guess what? If horses and chosen chariots drowned in ankle-deep water, the armies of Egypt drowned in ankle-deep water, that would be a bigger miracle than if they walked upon the dry ground and the walls of waters would collapse on them. But I believe what the Word of God said, and they walked upon the dry ground. Time and time again, this book tells us about how God makes a way. I remember just a little while ago, just over a year ago, I needed a car. I came back from overseas and I needed a car. And I didn't know what to do, so I tried to work things out on my own. I was going to find me a car. And I found a guy getting ready to go back overseas and said, can I buy your car from you? He said, no. I'm like, okay. He said, well, someone gave me this car. I have to give it back to them when I'm done with it. And I just thought in my head, God has a dealership out here? I need to find God's dealership. That's what I thought. And I mean, I'm like, man, I need to find this place. And lo and behold, I found a place to pray. I sat on the edge of my bed and I said, God, if you can give him a car, you can give me a car. But something swelled up in me that day. I said, God, if you can give me a car, you can give me a brand new car. What's the difference to God? If he's going to give me one thing, I might as well make my petitions made known unto God, be specific to what I want. So I said, God, why don't you just show off and give me a brand new car? I forget, I pray the prayer just after a few days, and I've been borrowing my father-in-law's car for a little while, and he said, I need my car back, and I said, I need one more week. I find myself at the used car dealership, because that's where you find all the brand new cars, at the used car dealership. Cheat code, real life cheat codes right here, guys. It's free. I show up. I'm sitting there. I found the car. It's the same one that I want to buy from the other missionary brother, and I thought this was the car for me, and it had the low miles. It was the cheapest in the 300-mile radius from where we live, and I was like, oh, this has to be it, and I had all the reasons that I wanted it to be it, and I'm sitting there getting ready to sign the papers, but they said, just a few more minutes, and we'll get the papers to you. I get a telephone call from an unknown number. How many of us answer unknown numbers? No one answers. I have to answer unknown numbers these days because it could be a pastor, it could be someone else calling me. So I answer and I said, hello. And this was a friend of mine had his number changed. And I said, bro, what's up? He's like, oh, you want to hang out tonight? I said, I can't. I'm trying to buy a car. He said, walk away. I said, I can't. He said, you haven't signed the papers. No? Well, walk away. I said, you're not making any sense. I said, this is the best priced car in a 300-mile radius. This is going to fit my family just fine, and it has low miles. And I was like, this is the one I want, and I feel comfortable with this make and model. And he's like, walk away. I said, bro, you're gonna have to say something more than just walk away. And he finally says, bro, I don't want to do this way, but I've already talked to my wife, and we want to buy you a brand new car. The next day we were at the dealership and we were buying a new car. I'm telling you, God can do exceedingly abundantly above anything that you could ask or think. But you got to make your petitions made known unto God. He knows what you have need of, but he wants you to verbalize it and ask the Heavenly Father so he can intervene in your situation. Because you don't ask for something for someone that you don't believe that could give it to you. We got to believe that God is able to do it in our lives today. There's story after story in this Bible where God works in impossible situations. Three Hebrew boys, Daniel in the lion's den, David and Goliath. God makes a way where there seems to be no way. Why do you think he does it? I think he's trying to teach us something. I think he's trying to show us something. Even though our carnal mind may say, oh, I don't think it's going to happen, or I believe it can happen for my friend or a family member, I don't know if he can really work it out for me. I'm telling you, he wants to make a way in your life today. As the musicians would come, and if you would just stand with me, I just would like to share one last testimony. I think about my little girl, Nora, once again. We were finding ourselves on the other side of the island, and we were starting a second district of Bible quizzing, expanding this ministry that we started there in Fiji. And I did a seminar that day. I was tired. I sat in some chairs, and my wife was sitting in the other chair. Nora is a go-getter. If you had her in Sunday school or if you've seen her run around or play, she may run around after service today, and you'll know what I'm talking about. But that day, she crawled up in her mama's lap, which was very strange, and she twitched a little bit. My wife thought she might have been falling asleep. As she was twitching, she leaned over to me and said, is the baby sleeping? I said, honey, I can't tell. I can't see her face. And so she leans over to her oldest daughter and said, Maddie, is the baby sleeping? She said, no, Mom. Her eyes are wide open. And they're just staring afar off. Something didn't sit right with my wife, the nurse practitioner, and she jumps up. She flips that lifeless body over. The baby's face had turned white as a sheet and her lips had turned blue. And all of a sudden, I see my wife trying to find a pulse or to see if she's breathing. And I see my wife going in there giving her CPR. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I start shouting for help. And my son was nervous, so I grab him under my arm and we started to pray. And we asked them to send us an ambulance. No ambulance ever showed up that day. My wife started to get her to breathe, but very heavily, and her heart was racing, and she had this blank stare on her face. We thought maybe she had been brain dead, and she'd stopped breathing for too long, and we didn't know what her new norms were, and all these things were flooding us. Finally, the hotel that we were staying at that day said, we'll take you by taxi. The girls jumped in the Toyota Prius, and Parker and I followed behind. This is about 45 minutes after the incident happened. We started calling upon the name of the Lord. We prayed the whole way. I put my pastor on speakerphone, and I'm praying with him back in the United States, asking him to partner with us in prayer and have the church pray. And we didn't know what to do. I prayed every prayer that I knew. I prayed every scripture of healing that I knew, and I started running out of things to say. There's a word in the New Testament that talks about praying in the Spirit. And when you pray in that heavenly language, it can start to make intercession for you in that situation. So I started praying in a heavenly language, praying that God would intervene. And we show up to the hospital, end up being the same hospital where Nora had been earlier. And we go and we get back in the back, and they start doing the vitals. They do a blood pressure test, and the oxygen sensor test was put on her finger. And lo and behold, the one thing that I could barely handle when she was little, her crying. The two oldest didn't cry, but this one, she was crying all the time, and now I hear this cry. Man, God told me that cry right then. He said, I'm touching your baby girl. That cry sounded like an angelic choir saying everything is going to be all right. Less than 2 hours from that moment, that baby was up playing around and talking and eating and acting like nothing had ever happened. God made a way in her life to be here today. I don't know what you're facing in your life. It may be life and death. But guess what? I believe God can make a way in your situation today. I believe that today. You may have a financial problem. I'm telling you, God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and all the earth is His and the fullness thereof. Maybe you haven't received the gift of the Holy Ghost today. I believe God could fill you with His Spirit today. Whatever you have need of, His word just simply says, ask. So if you would like to come to this altar, if you truly believe what we spoke about today and came into this house with expectation and believing that God could work in your family and your home, I would ask you to come. I believe when we walk out of our chairs and our pews and we come up to an altar, God said, oh, I can partner with that one. That one really believes that I am who I say I am. I really can intervene in their life and their situation. They're going to call upon the name of the Lord, and they're going to see me work into their life. Now is the time. Now is the time to receive what God would have for you and for your family. My wife and the ministry team are going to pray and believe and pray the prayer of faith and believing that God, He is the same God. And if He's done it before, He can do it again. If He's done the greater, He can do the easier. Maybe there's people that are not here that you want to stand and pray for them. I would invite you to come and stand in their place and call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, we come humbly before you, your throne room of grace, by the power of the name of Jesus Christ and by the authority of your word, Lord God. I pray that you would start to move in this place, that you would start to minister to the needs of this house. Lord, I believe in your word today. I believe that you're more than well able, Lord God, to take care of every need and every situation in this house. Lord, in